privilege to gather together. And it is the Lord's Day, and I want to make note that it's called Mother's Day also. And we want to be thankful for our mothers and a blessing.
Sure. Just a couple of announcements before Dan gets started here. We did have a week of celebrations. Tuesday was Shirley's birthday, and Connor got an academic and civic award through the Watsontown campus of Luzerne County Community College this week. And then yesterday, Hannah graduated from Clarion University. So it was a week of celebrations, and congratulations to all. And again, to reiterate what Dan said, today is Mother's Day, and though the world is trying to redefine it, we are thankful for God's blessings of motherhood. So to all the mothers present, and we wish a happy Mother's Day. Tonight we will be on Zoom at 7 p.m., Lord willing. We'll be in the second chapter of Esther, verses 18-23. It was found out, and this is the revelation of the plot against Xerxes, but it's also a reminder to us of the omniscience of God. He knows the hearts and the minds and the thoughts of all. So the Lord is an omniscient, all-knowing God. This morning, Dan is speaking on what is truth.
Thank you.
hymn number 216. Now is my kingdom not from thence, hence.
I therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. May God bless the reading of his word. Hymn number 370.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings unto us. We thank you for your word, for the indwelling of your Spirit. We pray that you would illuminate our hearts and our minds this day, that you would cause your enabling power to be upon Dan as he brings forth your word. Help us to apply the teachings of your truth. Help us to hold fast to the things that you have revealed to us.
that we would do all things according to your will. We thank you for how you meet our every need. We pray that you would continue to guide and direct us through the upcoming week, that all would be done for your honor and glory. We pray these things in the name of the name that is above every other name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All the people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. What is truth? It is of great importance to know the truth. It is of great importance that we know Jesus Christ. I thought last night, you know, it was Mother's Day. What would be the greatest and best gift a mother could receive? And I thought, well, it's the truth. The best and greatest gift a mother could receive is Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the giver of life, and we are indeed thankful for our mothers. So it is of great importance to know the truth, to know Jesus. The greatest need of every generation is to know the truth, to know Jesus. In this Gospel of John, in the Gospel of John chapter 18, we have read in this passage an account of a rush to judgment by an unrighteous and very religious group of men. Here we see a classic example of religious hatred, bigotry, and intolerance. This passage recalls to our memories of a most critical time in history, just a few hours before the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, and only a short time after Gethsemane, where he, Jesus, was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. It is early in the morning, likely before 6 o'clock. A mob consisting of the religious elite, experts in the law of Moses, and willing instruments of the crime of injustice. Here Jesus has been abused already, tied up, and indeed a man of sorrows, an innocent man deprived of due process. His false accusers pursued a rushed trial in Pilate's court for fear that their lies and their actions might be exposed for what they were. They simply wanted Jesus dead. They wanted Jesus to be crucified and were willing to stop at nothing, even at the expense of the truth, at the expense of truth becoming a casualty. This was, unlike in our days, this was dirty politics. Persons who insisted upon having the appearance of integrity, as the scripture says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Yet these were a people, a group of individuals of spiritual depravity, individuals with hearts filled with hatred and a lust for power, determined to hang on to their religious monopoly at all costs. You see, our Lord was a threat to their very existence. For Jesus came to take down all those barriers and all those walls of the past, to usher in a new hope, to end the continual sacrifice of lambs, of livestock, for the remission of sins. He became, once and for all, that spotless lamb that took away all the sins of the world. So they rushed in that early morning Jesus from Caiaphas, the high priest's house, to the praetorium, where the governor, Roman governor Pilate, resided, like the governor's mansion. However, it was here their hatred was confronted in Pilate's court. Pilate says to them in the 29th verse, I believe, what accusation do you bring against Pilate, against this man? This is Pilate talking to Jesus. What accusation do you bring against this man? What are you accusing this man of? Their hatred of Jesus had caused them to blindly rush to judgment. They could make no legitimate charge against Jesus, so they conspired to manufacture one. Their charge was lame. They say to Pilate, their accusers say to Pilate, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Now, I want you to note here, hearsay is not evidence. We hear a lot of hearsay today. People level accusations against one another. They name a person, say something derogatory against the person, and they hope it sticks. Hearsay is not evidence. Their false accusations did not meet the basic requirements of Roman law. They were determined to put Jesus to death and falsely insinuated that Jesus was trying to reclaim the Jewish throne. And so Pilate, as a good steward of his vocation as governor, he questioned the truth of Jesus' motives. And he simply asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Which implied, that implication would imply, that Jesus was an insurrectionist. That he was coming, that he came to the earth to lead a rebellion, for the Jewish people at that time were under occupation. Jesus' accusers were motivated by hatred. But Jesus was always motivated by the love of God. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God was on a mission. Jesus was on a mission of love. He came to a world that was full of sin and hate. No greater love ever in the history of the world was shown that our Lord showed us. Jesus could not respond to them in a dishonest way. He would answer Pilate in the spirit of truth. Jesus is and was heavenly minded. Pilate was worldly minded. His accusers playing a religious act of dirty politics. Pilate was seeking a solution that was politically secular. Jesus was not Pilate's main concern. Political unrest was Pilate's real concern. Here, the truth and solution was right there in front of them, but they could not see it. So here is Jesus in the midst of persecution and trial, responding in a non-violent, non-defiant, non-resistant, innocent way. Imagine that. What an example to us who claim his name. For when we reach and run into hard times, we so often respond negatively, especially when we're innocent. Jesus responded in a non-violent way. He didn't fight back. He was non-defiant. He simply told the truth. And was non-resistant, like a lamb to the slaughter. An innocent man, the spotless Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. Once again, Pilate says to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Now I'm going to paraphrase at this moment Jesus' response. It depends whether you view me as a Jewish political earthly king or as the promised Messiah of Israel, the Savior King of the Jews. Pilate says to him, am I a Jew? How am I to know the difference? Pilate goes on to say, he says, your nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? And I paraphrase, what have you done to make them want to kill you? Why are they so angry at you? Now, as strange as the truth may have seemed to Pilate, Jesus answered him this way. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. They would fight physically. They would take up arms.
so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate to Jesus, are you saying you are a king then? Jesus answers, yes, I am a king. For this righteous cause, for this cause, I was born. I have come, and for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness, not bear arms, bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He identifies himself as a king. Pilate cannot see that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The one who left the realms of glory and a rich commission over those who were lost to the fall and to sin. To those who were under the condemnation of sin. He said, for this cause, you know, many have a cause and seek a cause. But the cause of Christ, the reason why he came to that little town of Bethlehem, he came to die for the sins of his people. To put it all on the line. To lay down and he was willing to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. I was born to die. Become a sacrifice for the sins of my people, once and for all the spotless Lamb of God. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness, to tell the truth to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, all his followers, all his people, my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth, something in their heart of hearts, identifies with Jesus. Years ago, I asked the question, where is Jesus? And a lady in the back of the room spoke out and said, he's in my heart. Is Jesus in your heart? Do you hear his voice today? Is the truth of Jesus Christ in your heart? Do you know him? Do you know that love, that sacrificial love, that wonderful love, that amazing love of Jesus? The truth, the loving truth of Jesus. The cause of Jesus was to reveal the truth. There's two comparisons here. There's the light of the world, Jesus, and there is darkness. There is truth on one hand, and there is error. Pilate answers Jesus in his limited capacity. What is truth? What is truth? After Pilate had said this, he went out again to those who were falsely accusing Jesus and said to them, I find no fault in Jesus. Act. All period. Pilate could tell and see that Jesus was innocent of all these false accusations. What is truth? Pilate could not understand it because his capacity to understand it was limited. His eyes were closed. He did not have eyes to see. He did not have spiritual ears to hear the truth. But he did show deference. He was a man that could see that the charges leveled against Jesus were based upon hate, pure hate, and not based upon the truth. And he declares, I find no fault in Jesus. So what is truth? Truth is the same or equal to the original. or definition. Truth is the same or equal to the original. For instance, we use measurements. Suppose you had a quart jar, a quart milk jar, and somehow it was broken, and you were in the dairy business, and you needed an accurate measurement of a quart, or say a gallon. You'd have to go find an original measurement. You'd have to find another quart jar. In Hebrews 1:3, Jesus, it says, who being the brightness of his glory, God's glory, and the express, exact image of his person, God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, cleansed us from our sins by his sacrifice there at Calvary, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, the scriptures say that Jesus, the truth, is the same or equal to the original. Jesus is the exact representation. Jesus is a perfect representation and has the exact character of God's person, nature, and image. In Jesus is the perfect character of God. In Jesus is the perfect representation of God. Jesus represents the character of who God is perfectly. Jesus is God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Colossians 1, verse 15, it says that Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the image. He is the same and equal to God. He is the image. God is the Spirit and has not like a body like men. Jesus is God. God who came in the flesh. God so loved the world. You know, Jesus, with regard to that topic of what is truth, Pilate demonstrated in that saying that he was confused about what the truth really was in that context. We live in a world where it's the same. When I hear the news on television or on the radio, but particularly television, I question its accuracy. As a matter of fact, I really don't know where you're going to find the truth when it comes to the news. There is such bias in the media today. Where do we find the truth? We find it in Jesus, who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you desire the truth, you need to pursue Jesus. You need to seek Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Jesus is advocate for the truth. We get into a scuffle and say, I'm going to call my attorney. When we get into trouble, we need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
He is our advocate. In the Greek, it literally means, the word advocate literally means the one who is called to our side. The one who is called to our side. We find in life our spouses, those who have spouses, they find that your spouse is your best advocate, the one who God called to your side. But Jesus is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. There's no friend like Jesus. He's the lover of our souls. He is our advocate. He came. He came down to this world to be by our sides. And even when he left this world, he said, I will not leave you alone, I'll give you a comforter. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, is with us. We have the indwelling presence of Jesus in our hearts. Mothers are great advocates. You really don't want to mess with a mother when it comes to her children. Our Heavenly Father is like the Scripture says about a hen whose wings covers us and gives us shelter, a safe place of refuge. And He defends us because He loves us. And we know this to be true. Because God has revealed Himself to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that experience, we know His love because the Spirit reminds us of it every day. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, you know, we need childlike faith. Especially on a day, Mother's Day. My little children, the Apostle John wrote, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. You know, your parents talk to you and they sit you down at times. They explain things to you because they don't want you to get into trouble. They don't want you to sin. John has his sense here. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous, the one who bears witness to the truth. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. He's the one in whom we have the removal of guilt, the forgiveness of sins. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the world. Jesus loves the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are all precious in His sight. Jesus saves out of every nation, kindred, and tribe. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Yeah. When we consider the truth, we also must be aware of what is the opposite of truth. The opposite of truth is a lie, is falsehood. Now, Satan is a liar, and he is a false accuser, the false accuser. Jesus explained it this way in John chapter 8, verse 44. Satan was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. In other words, no one can blame him. He has no one to blame but himself. He speaketh of his own. For he is, Jesus says this. This is the words of the Lord Jesus, who is the truth. For he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. He's the liar in chief. We're to live the truth. We should live in the truth. To live the truth in our daily lives. If we live in Christ Jesus, if we abide in Him, in the vine, the divine vine, we're living in the truth. We're not to live a lie. Some lies sound pretty good. Some people can tell lies that you can hardly tell that they're a lie. But if you're following someone and something besides Jesus, you're following a lie, you're living a lie. That's harsh, but it's true. In Revelation 12, verse 10, we read about the accuser of the brethren. Accuser of the brethren, who accused them as God's people before our God day and night,
had been cast down. Now we know Satan seeks as a lion whom he may devour and destroy, to rough up, to make life miserable. He prides himself in that. He enjoys that. Misery likes company. He knows his doom. He knows his doom is sure. But it talks about that he accused God's people both day and night. Have you noticed that? You have a difficult night or you have a difficult day. Guess who's attacking you? It's Satan. But that's why it's important to abide in the truth, to abide in the word. You ever notice in your devotion, you might be during a time of crisis and difficulty, and you turn to the Word of God in prayer, and in there you find comfort. There the darkness seems to flee, and it does, and you have a moment of peace and comfort. Jesus promised, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And that's the truth. He is the truth. God cannot lie. Jesus cannot lie. He is the truth. But we cannot ignore the reality in life that Satan does exist and he seeks to destroy us. He seeks to make life uncomfortable for us. He enjoys throwing things in our path. What is truth? Jesus said, "I am the truth." Last week we talked about the truth. We talked about Jesus is the same as the one God revealed to Moses there in Exodus. I am that I am. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the eternal one, the everlasting one, the holy one, the righteous one, the one who was and is and ever shall be, Jesus." He said, in answer to that question you might have, what is the truth? Jesus says, "I am the truth." John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." That's how truth came. God so loved the world that he sent truth. He sent his Son. Grace, undeserved favor, came through Jesus Christ. We were lost and Jesus found us. We were perishing. We had the condemnation of sin upon us. He set us free. John 4:24. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." How important is worship? How important is worship? Here in this passage, it says that we must worship. We must worship. We must not forsake the assembling ourselves together as man or some is. But how do we worship? We worship in spirit and in truth. In the spirit of truth. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Melt me, mold me. Make me to be that person you want me to be. Immerse me. Bear witness to the truth. When I read the scriptures, oh God, Spirit of the living God, open it up. Break it. Break the bread of life unto me. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth." You shall know the truth. "And the truth shall make you free." Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What a Savior. You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. to slap you upside the head. Because the truth is in your heart if you be in Christ. If you abide in me, in my word, Scripture says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. By every word shall live, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If people see that you're not into the word, how are they to know that you abide in Christ Jesus, that you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, the one who carries his name, the one who lives for his honor and for his glory? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from the power and curse of sin. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Are you carrying a burden today? Do you know, have you experienced the forgiveness of sins where he washed your sins away and made you whole? Do you know Jesus, the truth? Do you know Jesus, the truth? John 16, verse 13. Quoting once again Jesus' own words. However, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you. Where will he guide you? He will guide you into all the truth. Into all truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. He will not speak of his own authority. This makes reference to the perfect harmony, the unity between the Godhead. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He speaks simply the truth. He bears witness to the will of God in Christ Jesus, who is the Word. And he will tell you things to come. We're not walking in the blind, in darkness. He'll let you know what's coming. He tells us what's coming. For he indeed not only is the truth, but the way. Way. And what a wonderful life it is in Christ Jesus. To know him, to know his love, to be at one with Jesus. John 17, 17 and 19. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word, God's word, is truth. As you sent me into the world, Jesus said, I also have sent them into the world. Go ye into all the world, teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you. I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by what? The truth. Sanctify. What does that mean? To set apart. Or set aside. Or separated from sin. By the truth of Christ Jesus. He destroyed sin and death. He conquered sin and death. He gave us the hope that saves us for all eternity. A word of truth. A word of truth. Bear witness by the Spirit of truth. The word of truth inspires us, corrects us, reproves us, and instructs us in righteousness. The right way. John 18, 37 and 38, getting back to that passage where I started. Jesus says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is the truth? And when he said this, Pilate went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in them. So we see in this day, it is important that we know the truth, that
we know Jesus. It is of great importance to know the truth. The greatest need of every generation is to know the truth, to know Jesus. Do you know him? I believe on this day the greatest and best gift a mother could receive is the truth, Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I think maybe the last hymn we'll sing, hymn number 477. We'll sing an acapella, or if you'd like to play, you're welcome to. I'll go ahead, Bob. You're up.
Said that if we are ashamed of him, if we fail to confess him before men, he will not confess us before the Father. And thus, there is a need to stand up for what we believe, to stand for the truth, to stand upon his promises. And this, even as the Scripture exhorts us to make our calling and election sure, there's a lot of religious ideas in the world today. There's a lot of organizations and secular, even social clubs that call themselves churches. But the church of the living God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the assembly of God's people. And we are to call, to make our calling and election sure, to make sure that what we believe, that what we are placing our eternal future upon, is the truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. This challenges us to make sure that what we believe is the truth. We are blessed to live in a land still that allows us to publicly proclaim the truth. But this may change. And we need to be prepared. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So it is urgent that we know the word, that we know the truth, that we be able by the Spirit of God, the enabling, enlightening power of the Spirit of God, to recognize the truth when it is proclaimed. And thus, may we seek truth, and may the truth be with you always. May His grace and His peace be upon you. Amen. Just a reminder, Thursday night is the next hymn sing here in this place, 7 p.m. And Dan, I believe you're going to be selecting the hymns this time?
Well, I haven't got that far yet.
Okay. So if you can let me know and let Joy know as well.
If there are some hymns that maybe you would like to sing, I know Francis has picked some hymns out, so about how many hymns do you think we'd need?
We've been doing 14, 15 in that range, and then maybe a couple of requests at the end. So somewhere in the range of 14 or 15 hymns usually works. Okay. Just one other quick note. As elders, Dan and I and our chief deacon and founding elder and pianist, as well as Tom, our deacon, we are open to suggestions. We have deliberated as to our process for meeting occasionally in this place. Dan has graciously opened the doors for us to assemble here when the calling occurs. There has been some discussion of perhaps having every first Sunday of the month here at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Another alternative, if that doesn't work, might be to have a second service here perhaps at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sundays. So we're open to suggestions. We
prefer a consensus.
Yes.
So we prefer that.
We don't want to be arbitrary in our decisions, but this is intended to be a missions outreach location, and all are welcome. But we also want to have some predictability in terms of when we will be here rather than just a spur of the moment. So we're open to suggestions. We're willing to listen for that consensus.
And I personally have been appreciative of those people who have attended here in previous times, their encouragement and suggestions. So input is appreciated. So the more we have, or the better input we have, the better decisions we can make. But I think we should go forward. I think we should go forward, and that has been a suggestion. Thank you, Rick.
Amen. You're dismissed.
I'm sorry, honey, I can't do both at once.
That's okay.
You know, I had to hold it. Can you help me take it?
Thank you.